that was really good yesterday to beat the working bee, and particularly to see the young people scrubbing walls and doing things. We found out yesterday that the two doors out there are different colours. So if you've never noticed the two greys on the door, have a look when you leave, because they're different colours. I'm going to talk about Naaman the leper this morning. And if you're looking for a scripture, 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to read the whole 27 verses. So take a deep breath and follow along. I'm sure that you've read or heard about the account of Naaman the leper. And today we're going to look at some of the things that we can learn from this biblical account. We're going to examine the attitudes of the key players and see what drove them, see what lessons we can learn from them. So I'll start by reading through, as I said, all 27 verses, so hang in there with me. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man, and his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Assyrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see that he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And verse 13 says, And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? And he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants two mules, burdens of the earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there is come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and he bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. Verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? And the leprosy whereof Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. Now, it's a long reading, but I'm sure you've got the gist of the account. And because it's written in the Bible, because it's written here, it happened just as it says. So we're going to look at several questions now and during this study. So please be ready to contribute if you get an opportunity. Let me ask you this question. Why is this very detailed account recorded in the scriptures? Why did the Spirit of God encourage the writer to write this account, all 27 verses? Why is it there? Anyone want to have a guess? Yes? Sorry? For our admonition? Yes. Yes. Why is it there? Why pen 27 verses on this account about a Syrian soldier? Okay. It's interesting to note that there are very few accounts recorded of people ever being cured of leprosy. It's not like it happens every day or in those days. So why this man? Why was this man cured of leprosy. Very few people other than from God's family, that is Israel and Judah, were in fact healed of anything. Therefore, why this man? Why was this man healed? Okay, well, I'll give you some answers that I've found. Back in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, verse 8, it says, "And it was so, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? It says, Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So one of the reasons that I believe that Naaman was cured was because God wanted to prove that he still had, or he had, a prophet in Israel that could cure people of these diseases. And verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was honorable. And it says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria." So obviously God had, through this man Naaman, delivered into the hands of the king of Syria other nations. So God had a hand in that. It says he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. So let's examine the key players. Let's have a look at the key players and their attitudes. Well, the first key player we find is Naaman himself. If we were going to describe Naaman's attitude, I think we'd have to call him proud. We'd have to say that he was a proud man. He also had self-expectations, being the captain of the hosts of the king of Syria. He was probably a big man. He was probably a very strong and fit man. And he had self-expectations. But he also listened. Did you pick that up? He listened. And he was also a believing person. He was a believing person. Okay, what about the next character, his wife? What would we say the wife's attitudes was? She was concerned. She was definitely concerned for Naaman, her husband. But she also listened to a little maid. I was thinking about getting all of the 10 to 12 year olds to come and stand here. But I won't do that. But just think of all the 10 to 12 year olds in the room. And they're all standing here. That's what I think the little maid would have looked like. Probably 8 to 10. That's just a guess, because she's called a little maid. So she wasn't a big maid. She was a little maid. And she listened to that little maid. All right, well, what about the little maid? We don't know her name. We just know her as the little maid. What was her attitude? Well, she was definitely forgiving. She was definitely forgiving. She also wanted to share. She wanted to share with this family who had captured her and brought her there about the prophet in Israel. It appears as though she was caring. She even cared for the people who took her away from her own home. She was concerned. She was concerned that Naaman, the Syrian, had leprosy. She was concerned for him. She was also believing. She believed in the God of Israel and in the prophet that was there. What about the king of Syria? What was his attitude? What was the king of Syria's attitude? Well, he was concerned. He was concerned that Naaman, the captain of the guard, had leprosy. And he was also helpful because he wrote a letter. Can you imagine? The king of Syria, he's captured all of these countries. He's top dog, as it were. And he's writing a letter to the king of Israel saying, not that I'm going to come down and capture you. Not that I want you to give me some money. Not that I want to negotiate land. But he writes a letter, says, I want you to cure Naaman of his leprosy. That must have really sent some shivers around the hierarchy in Syria. But that's what he did. He was helpful and he sent the letter. What about the king of Israel? The king of Israel was suspicious. He was suspicious. He definitely was not a believer. What about Elisha? What's his attitude? Well, he was definitely a believer, but he was very patient. He exercised great patience. And he was very deliberate in his actions. He knew exactly what he was going to do, when he was going to do it, and he wasn't going to go one step further. So he was very deliberate. What about Naaman's servants? Naaman's servants, they were caring. They were respectful. They respected their master, but they cared enough for him to actually go to him and say to him, excuse me, sir, if the prophet had have asked you to do something hard, would you have done it? Why not do the simple thing? And they changed his anger into action. What about Gehazi? He was selfish. He was greedy. He was the what's in it for me character. What's in it for me? So having looked at those, let's go on and answer some more questions. How did the little maid know about the prophet? How did she know that this prophet in Israel could cure Naaman of his leprosy? How did she know that? Maybe she had seen him do a miracle. Maybe she came from places where he had done other miracles. Maybe she'd heard of him and the things that he did. Now, we know that all 8 to 10-year-olds can exaggerate. They can hear something and then build up the story. We don't know. We're not told. But we know one thing. She was convinced that the prophet could heal him of his leprosy. Now, I just did a little bit of research, and in 2 Kings chapters 4 and 5, there's a list of the miracles that Elisha had done. And all of chapter 4 is just taken up with the things that he did. He got the prophet's wife, that when the prophet died, and she had a little pot of oil, and he said to her, go and get bottles from your neighbours, not a few. And they got the bottles, and her son filled out of the one pot all of the bottles, and the oil ran out when the last bottle was full. What sort of a miracle is that? There was the Shunammite woman who had no son. And the prophet said, you'll have a son. And she had a son. And then the son died. And then the Shunammite woman came and said, why did you give me something and then have the Lord take it away? So he brought him back to life again. And then there was the curing of the death pot for the sons of the prophet, where they'd got we'd probably call them sweet potatoes or something like that, some root-bound vegetables, and put them in the pot, and they said, there's death in the pot. And Elisha came and put some meal in, and the death went away. So there's four miracles that he did in the chapter preceding this one. Now, which one of those the little maid had heard about? Which one of those she was referring to? I don't know. But he also went on afterwards, and remember the axe that went into the water? And he threw a stick in, and it went straight into the head of the axe, and it floated to the surface. You know how many axe heads float these days? So this man was a miracle worker. But, of course, that was after the little maid was taken. So why did the little maid care for Naaman? She was captured and taken from her home and her parents. 8 to 10 year old. Taken away from her home. Captured by the soldiers that went in. That they may have killed her parents to take her away. Maybe Naaman and his wife were kind to her. She was now a servant, a slave, but maybe they were kind to her. But maybe like Joseph, she was not going to let the circumstances of her situation stop her believing in the living God. But Joseph was older when he was taken. Verse 3 of our reading says, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." What a statement. But she did. She obviously cared for Naaman. Why did Naaman's wife listen to the maid? Why did she listen to the maid? She was a servant, she was a slave. Probably there were others living in the home. She must have been very convincing. They were desperate for a cure. She must have felt something for her captors. Why did Naaman think Elisha should do something special to him? I like this one. Naaman was a very important person. He was the captain of the guard for the king. He was, I don't know whether that would make him number two or number three in authority in the kingdom, but he was certainly in a position of authority. He was a VIP. He was a very important person. He was used to pomp and ceremony. I'm sure that all of when he came back with a big victory, they put on a lavish dinner and, you know, he was the head man. Maybe he had to give a report and tell what happened. But he was used to pomp and ceremony. He may have decided that this was the way that it was to be done. Remember back in the reading, he said how he thought the prophet should heal him. It says here, just got to find it. I have it marked, this verse. So just give me a second. And Naaman was wroth and went away. Yeah, he said in verse 11, he will surely come out to me. So he will come out because I'm a really important person, and he will stand in front of me, and he'll call on the name of the Lord his God, and he'll strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman had already worked out how he was going to be cured. He'd had the whole thing sorted out. He could have told Elisha, this is what you're going to do. But what did Elisha do? He sent a messenger. He didn't even come out himself. He just sent someone, I'll go and wash in the Jordan River. But you know, how often do we decide how God should do something? How often do we make our own plans for how God is going to do something? And then when God does it differently, are we disappointed? Are we disappointed? Sometimes we decide how things should work out, but it doesn't always work out that way. And then I've written down, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is believing the invisible It's believing the impossible. It's taking God at His word. It's believing that God would do that. Sorry, it's believing what God said He would do and could do. So Naaman's now in this very awkward position. He's traveled a whole lot of distance. He's in his chariot. And he's got to decide, is he going to go and wash in the river seven times? Or is he going to go away? Is he going to believe the invisible? What was in the water that would cure his leprosy? Believe the impossible. No one had ever been cured from leprosy before this. Now, I've put taking God at his word, but taking the prophet at his word. Believing that the prophet could do something. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're just going to examine the key players in the light of that thing on faith. The little maid had faith in the Lord's prophet, told Naaman's wife how and where healing could happen. You just send him down to Israel and the prophet will meet you and he will heal you. And he did. Naaman had faith in the maid's words and he went to be healed. This is the chief soldier in the whole of Syria taking a little girl's word that if he went down to Israel, he could be healed. And he did it. That's just amazing. Elijah had faith in the Lord, told Naaman how to be healed. Naaman had to have faith in the prophet's words and go and wash in the Jordan River. And Naaman's servants had to have faith in the prophet's words to challenge their master's anger. Just imagine if he had bathed seven times in the Jordan River and come out with leprosy, how would they have looked, considering what they did to try and have him healed? Well, there's got to be a conclusion and an application, so let's look at those things. What were the attitudes of these key peoples in the understanding of this passage? The little maid. What would I do if I was this 8 to 10 year old girl, stolen from my parents, taken to another land, put as a slave to this Assyrian family? What would my attitude have been? What would your attitude have been? It's a hard question to answer, isn't it? Because for most of us, we're way beyond that age. Would we be forgiving? Would we forgive the people that did this to us? Would we share something that we knew that was of value? Would we care to the point that we would want to share what we knew? Would we be concerned about that family, or would we only be concerned about what happened to us? Would we believe in the living God, having been taken out of Israel and having been forcibly removed to Syria? What would my attitude have been? What would your attitude have been to that? What about the servants? If you were a servant of the captain of the army of Syria and you saw your master making a mistake, you saw his displaying the wrong attitude, would you be caring enough to go up to him and say, "Excuse me, master, but I think you're wrong. Excuse me, sir, but I think you should do what you've been told to do"? Would we be caring enough? Would we be respectful enough to be able to speak to such a person and to gain their confidence? What about Elisha? Elisha was a believer. He was used to doing miracles, but he was a patient man. He was a very patient man. He was prepared to let Naaman leave and go back to Syria uncured. But he was a patient man. How patient are we with those around us? He was a deliberate man. He had a remedy in mind. He knew what Naaman had to do to be cured. And he didn't run out and say, "Oh, Naaman, you know, you're a really important person. I'd like to talk to you. Can I have your autograph?" No, he just sent a servant out and said, "Go and tell him to wash 7 times in the Jordan River." Didn't even come and speak to him until after he was cured. He was a deliberate man. What's my attitude to the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen? This whole thing, this whole chapter, this whole 27 verses is to do with faith. It's to do with believing what God said he would do. It's to do with believing the invisible, believing the impossible, taking God at his word and believing what God said he would do and he could do. Let's just pray and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Gracious Father, I'm thankful that this account is here, that we can see this little 8 to 10 year old maid, that we can see her caring attitude, we can see her forgiving attitude, we can see her caring sufficiently enough for this man to say that if he goes to Israel, the prophet can cure him of his leprosy. We also know that this man was not part of God's family. He was a stranger. He was actually an enemy of Israel. And yet the living God wrote 27 verses in his curing. And we've got them today. And they're there for us to read and to study and to look at and to wonder why. I just pray this morning that we could leave at this building with an attitude of trusting God, believing the invisible, believing the impossible, taking God at his word, and believing that God, what God said he would do and he could do. We just thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.